Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Navin Fluorine International Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhavya Shah from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and welcome to the Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. Today on this call, we have Mr. Rajesh Welling, Managing Director, and Mr. Anish Ganatra, Chief Financial Officer of Navin Fluorine International Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. Actual results may differ materially. The statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is given on page number 2 of investor presentation of company, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and company's website as well. With this, I now hand over the call to Mr. Rajesh Welling for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Hello. Thank you very much. Good evening and a warm welcome to all the participants. I want to take a moment to acknowledge the inconvenience of calling you all on a Saturday evening for an earnings call, as I had to travel for some business from tomorrow onwards. We understand that this may disrupt your weekend plans, and we sincerely appreciate your flexibility and consideration in joining us on short notice. Thank you for your continued support and commitment to Navin Fluorine. On this call today, I'm joined by Mr. Anish Ganatra, Chief Financial Officer, and our investor relations partner, Orient Capital. I hope all of you got an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentation, which have been uploaded on the stock exchanges as well as on the company's website. Let me now start with key highlights for the quarter and year ending FY23, followed by business segment-wise updates, and then we'll take you through financial highlights for the period under review. I'm pleased to announce that our performance in FY23 has achieved several new milestones. For full year FY23, we achieved a key milestone of revenue from the operations exceeding rupees 2,000 crore, operating EBITDA crossed 550 crore, and operating PBT crossed 460 crore. For Q4 FY23, we have reported quarterly revenue of 697 crore. Operating EBITDA has more than doubled at 202 crore on YoY basis. EBITDA margins stood at 28.9%, an expansion of 586 basis points. Commercial production at three of our new plants, HPP, MPP, and agro intermediate plant, has commenced successfully in the last fiscal. We have begun commercial production of two new molecules at our MPP plant in Q4 FY23 and expect to launch at least one new molecule in FY24. R32 CapEx of rupees 80 crore in Surat will be commissioned as per schedule, and the sales should start from Q2 FY24. This demonstrates the strength of our business model and execution capabilities developed over the years. We improved our performance in uncertain times, captured growth opportunities, executed multiple projects successfully, and accelerated our journey towards becoming the company we want to become in the future. Now, some refresh and some additional updates. In line with our growth plans, in March 2023, Navin Fluorine Advanced Science Limited, our wholly owned subsidiary, announced a capital expenditure of rupees 450 crore for setting up a new 40,000 metric tons per annum hydrofluoric acid plant at Dahej. The new capacity is expected to come on stream in 2 years. The CapEx is starting to progress well and is expected to be commissioned on schedule. With this capacity, we will be prepared to address rising demand in the pharmaceutical and agrochemical sectors, as well as in the emerging areas like EV battery chemicals, solar, etc. Apart from the ongoing expansions, which are scheduled to be completed by FY25, we are in the process of finalizing business plans for two projects to be presented to the board for approval in calendar year 2023. These two projects are CDMO CGMP4 and another project we've been working on in the specialty sector, the specialty business unit. We have taken our annual plant shutdown for HFO in Dahej, along with annual plant shutdown of one of the HF plants in Surat in the month of April. We are pleased to inform you the board of directors have recommended a final dividend of rupees 7 per equity share of face value of rupees 2 each, subject to approval of shareholders. With this, the total dividend for the last year will be rupees 12 for the face value of rupees 2 each. I would now like to discuss the operating performance of each business units. Happy to report that all our business units, specialty, HPP and CDMO, delivered highest ever quarterly revenues and profitability. Specialty business continues to deliver strong performance driven by strong partnerships and new technology platforms. We reported revenue growth of 28% on YoY basis at rupees 204 crores for Q4 FY23. In the fourth quarter of FY23, introduction of new products has made impact on our performance. These innovative offerings have resonated positively with customers, contributing to our overall growth. Agrochemical intermediate plant achieved optimal capacity utilization in the last quarter. Our HPP business generated revenue of rupees 289 crores, growth of 92% in Q4 FY23 as compared to the same period last year. The recent increase in sales can be attributed primarily on account of increased volume from NFSL, our subsidiary. We are pleased to report that our plant is currently operating at optimal capacity, resulting in desired yields. Furthermore, we are excited to announce that the commissioning of R32 project in Surat is progressing as scheduled, and we anticipate commencing production from beginning of Q2 FY24. We remain committed to driving profitability, enhancing operational excellence, and seizing opportunities for further success. Our CDMO business has reported highest ever quarterly revenue of rupees 203 crores, reflecting YoY growth of 106% as compared to the same period last year. Business is on strong footing and primed for further capacity expansion. Our revenue in Q4 FY23 have doubled, surpassing our stated guidance of approximately $10 million quarterly run rate on an annualized basis. This exceptional performance is testament to the dedication and hard work of our team, as well as to our strong partnerships. This places our CDMO business in a robust position and in an opportune space to pursue further expansion in the future. We are confident in our ability to capitalize on these market opportunities and are actively exploring options for further capacity expansion to meet the increasing demands. I'll now hand over the line to our CFO, Mr. Anish Ganatra, to give you a brief on the financial performance of the company. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rajesh. Good evening to all the participants. I will share the highlights of our performance for FY23 and Q4 FY23, post which we'll be happy to take questions. For FY23, on a consolidated basis, the company reported revenue from operations of rupees 2,077 crores as against rupees 1,453 crores in FY22, a growth of 43% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA stood at 550 crores as against 355 crores in FY22, up by 55%. Operating EBITDA margin stood at 26.5% as against 24.4% in FY22, an increase of 207 basis points. Operating PBT was up 51% at 460 crores for FY23 as against 305 crores in FY22. Operating PBT margin was at 22.2% in FY23 as against 21% in FY22, a jump of 116 basis points year on year. Profit after tax stood at 375 crores for FY23 as against 263 crores in FY22, a growth of 43% year on year. PAT margin was at 18.1% for FY23 and remained constant against FY22. Now coming to the quarter performance for Q4 FY23, company reported growth of 70% in net revenue from operations to 697 crores against 409 crores in Q4 FY22. Operating EBITDA grew by about 114% year on year to 202 crores as against 94 crores in Q4 FY22. EBITDA margin stood at 28.9% for Q4 FY23, an increase of 586 basis points. Operating PBT stood at 180 crores, growth of 120% as compared to the same period last year. PAT stood at 136 crores for Q4 FY23 as against 75 crores in Q4 FY22 with a growth of 81%. Before we start with the question answers, I would like to refer to a couple of items in the financials of this quarter and year end. During the year, the company initiated an exercise to assess the estimated useful life of assets, plant and machinery and buildings with the help of external technical consultants. The exercise covered assets at Dahej, our greenfield development, which started commercial operations during the year, and at Devas, the CDMO assets. Consequently, the depreciation charge for the quarter and year-end 31st March 2023 is lower by approximately 20.4 crores on a consolidated basis. In NFSAL, the impact is about 15.1 crore, and in NFIL, it is 5.3 crores. ESOP charges for the quarter stood at 9.31 crores and rupees 16.79 crores for the full year FY23. Consolidated net cash flow from operations at negative 63.6 crore primarily reflects initial working capital outlay following the startup of commercial operations at Dahej. No further infusion of working capital is expected during FY24. Rather, actions are in play to secure reduction of net working capital. So that is from my side. We will now open the floor for question and answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from JM Financial PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions and congrats on great set of numbers. Sir, my question is, if I look at the specialty chemicals, you have done fantastically well. And if I look at the last, a few commentaries from some of our peers, it seems to be a little mixed specifically on the agrochemical side. I mean, some of them talking about higher inventory and prices coming down. Just wanted, your thoughts, on this, given that we have done extremely well hitherto, and, what do we expect going forward?
Yeah, thank you very much for that question. I hope you are able to hear me properly.
Yes.
So, we are really not seeing any impact on the pricing because, as you know, these are all contracted. Most of it is contracted business. And we primarily work with the innovators on the new molecules, molecules which are just about to be launched or have just recently been launched. We don't really have much business on the generic side. Your commentary or your question is very relevant for the generic molecules, not so much on the innovator side. Having said that, we have seen some impact, and we expect that for the rest of the year, that is calendar year 23, we will see some impact on one of the molecules. But that's not really that significant in our specialty business. And if you look at it on a calendar year 23 basis, the maximum impact was probably in the quarter we just got over, which is Q4 FY23. That impact will actually keep reducing as we move along. But we have been able to develop new opportunities to compensate for the volume that we lost in the last quarter, and that will continue to happen. So overall, we really don't see a significant impact on the inventory in the specialty business side, because our business is not so much on the generic side.
Sure, sir. And sir, but, you know, in the specialty side, I mean, what would be the mix of, you know, pharma, you know, agri and, you know, non-pharma, non-agri at this point? Has there been any major change, say, in the fourth quarter versus, you know, what we have done in the past?
No, so the guidance that I gave last quarter continues to remain the same. Our specialty business is actually tilting a lot more on the agrochemical side. And as you know, within the specialty chemical, the pharma business was primarily supplying to the Indian generic pharma companies. And we have consciously taken a decision to reduce that particular business. So that, you know, quarter on quarter actually keeps reducing, and our industrial business and our agrochemical business keeps increasing.
Sure, sir. The second question from my side, you know, is on the HPP side. I mean, specifically on the HFOs and, you know, the Honeywell contract. Given that over a period of time, I mean, you are going to see the new, you know, the newer gases which are much better, you know, from a, you know, environment perspective. I mean, it's heartening to know that we have achieved a fair amount of scale here in a short span of time. Is there, you know, option of scalability, say, in assuming the third quarter or the fourth quarter of the coming year? And is there a possibility of more such molecules getting into the pipeline? I mean, from the Honeywell contract or anybody else?
No, so our commentary on this remains same. As we had mentioned, our first priority would be to ensure that we stabilize this plant, achieve optimal capacity, and which is what we are currently doing. We'll continue to do that in the calendar year 23. Priority number two would be to do the debottlenecking that I had mentioned to you, so we are actually working on that. So that would actually give us additional capacity of at least 20% immediately, that is from the next financial year onwards. And as we speak, we have actually identified a few newer molecules to work with Honeywell on, and that's basically at a very initial stage. That would be our phase three, priority number three.
Sure, sir. And one question before I join back the queue is on the CDMO part. I mean, we have achieved one of the highest sales we have, you know, done till now. I mean, this sales is driven by, you know, newer molecules coming into the fold, or, you know, scale up of existing molecules, some of them hitting the commercials. What is the outlook over here, sir? I mean, I'm not looking at quarter on quarter, but, you know, even at from here, if I'm assuming, say, you know, the next couple of years, what is the kind of outlook that we are seeing here?
So I think on the CDMO side, we've actually getting very good traction with our key accounts. So there, our existing molecules that we have been working on for the past few years have been scaling very well. Second, we are actually getting a lot of new opportunities with these key accounts. And I'm happy to tell you that some of these opportunities are now even outside of fluorination, because these key accounts have actually started trusting us for manufacturing and delivering products which even outside our core value proposition. So it's primarily driven by this key account relationship, and there it's repeat business and the new opportunities. And new opportunities include fluorinated intermediate as well as non-fluorinated intermediate. Having said that, we've actually continued to bring on board and qualify new customers, but the contribution to the overall sales of these new customers is relatively on a lower side, because as you can imagine, when the relationship starts, it typically starts at a very low volume. But we believe that These relationships will then help us scale up opportunities over a period of time with these customers. So overall, if I look at the pipeline from all these perspectives, gives us a lot of confidence now to start working on the CGMP4, which is going to be a significantly larger plant than 1, 2, or 3.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll join back. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thank you so much for taking my questions. First question is actually on two or three financial aspects of the results. So one is with regard to the depreciation amount. If there's any indication you could give us on what the normalized depreciation and amortization number should be going forward now that we've sort of taken a fresh look at the useful life of these assets. Second was just with regard to the sharp increase in other expenses. Are there any one-off items there or is this a good run rate to work with going forward? And the third one was with regard to the tax rate, which seems to be a little bit on the higher side, given that NFASL should be on a concessional tax rate. So if you could please just elaborate a bit on these three aspects.
All right. Hi. Abhijit, thanks for the question. So on your first question regarding the normalized depreciation, this is kind of, so you're looking for an annualized number, I suppose. I mean, if I was to give you a guidance, it would be in the range of 80 to 90 crores. But that would be sort of, based on the current capitalization that we have, yeah? So it's what you see on the financials. Those financials are effectively considering the depreciation based on when the assets have been put into use. But I guess your question was more on the forward kind of what would be the annualized impact if the new rates were in play. Yeah.
Sure.
On the other expenses, I mean, if you compare last year to this year, in some sense, it is not a comparable number because last year did not include NFSL. This being the first year of operationalization, right, and startup or commissioning, you're seeing the entire NFSL expenses coming in there. Now, some of the expenses that we have there are already focus area, but those items are being worked. But frankly, like I said, if you're comparing between the two, it's not the right comparison just because it's the first year of operation on the consolidated basis.
Can I just add to that?
Yes, please.
Abhijit, I would just like to add to that. On the other expenses in Q4, there were two charges there, which you will actually not see going forward. There was one consulting assignment that we had actually undertaken in Q4. So that's approximately about 5 crore, which basically has been expensed in Q4 and will not come in again. And there were some issues with respect to some of our OSBL in the Hage, because of which there were two line items which actually came in Q4, that's approximately around 10 CR, which will not come in again. So about 15 crore, I would say, is an expense item which actually came in Q4, which will not feature going forward.
And Abhijit, your final question was on the tax rates. Now, again, bear in mind that NFSAL does not have a full year of operation. So from a tax point of view, it would not really have a tax impact. Most of the tax number that you see on the consolidated basis is actually from the NFIL point of view. That's why you see a higher number.
Okay, got it. That's very helpful. Thank you. And the second question I had was, Radhishji, if you could talk a little bit about the growth outlook for the three business units for the upcoming year. And also specifically just wanted to check, number one, whether we should expect any impact on 1Q sales, et cetera, because of the annual shutdown that you spoke about in HFO and I guess specialty. And second, with the R32 unit getting commissioned within a couple of quarters, and I guess the competition's capacity also is coming up sometime, fairly soon. So how do you expect pricing in that segment to sort of perform in the near term and maybe slightly medium term as well, 3 to 5 year kind of outlook? Thank you so much.
Yeah, so as far as the outlook for FY24, currently we have no reason to believe that there is any change in the overall guidance, qualitative guidance that we have given to you before on each of the three businesses. As I mentioned to you, as I mentioned earlier, the issue with respect to inventory, et cetera, on the agrochemical side is not being seen by us to that extent. It's more happening on the generic side. There is some impact with respect to one product, but we have actually identified some other opportunities, et cetera, which will help compensate, more than compensate that downslide. So we have not really have any reason to change the guidance, overall guidance that we have given for any of our three businesses. Specifically with respect to Q1, you're absolutely right. On a sequential basis, you will actually see some drop because our HPP plant in Dahej was shut for a month. This is a planned annual shutdown. And what we did was to ensure that it aligns with our HF thing, we actually took the HF shutdown in Surat also. One of the lines was actually taken down for our planned annual shutdown during the same time. So that was down for about 3 weeks, and our Orchid plant was down for almost a month. So the HF plant is already started, and the HPP plant will be starting very soon. So because of which, you will actually see slightly light Q1, but we expect that from Q2 onwards, again, the sales, et cetera, will again get to a normalized level. And your third question was related to R32. See, if you actually look at our R32 capacity, it's not that high that we should actually be worried about the pricing, et cetera. Also, we already have a lot of interest from our existing customers, some of the domestic existing customers, as well as some of these partners in the international market to actually buy R32 from us on a long-term basis. So we are trying to understand, you know, which of the customers we should probably tie up with on a long-term basis, which of these we should work on at a spot basis, etc. But as we move forward, we believe that the demand for R32 will continue to increase, not only as a single ingredient, but also as a part of a blend. And I'm not only talking about HFC blend, but also HFC, HFO blend. Some of these conversations are already going on with some of our partners. So if you ask me from a, let's say, 2 to 3 year perspective, we believe that that the pricing for R32, given the fact that, you know, our capacity is relatively limited, we believe that the pricing would remain strong.
Thank you so much, Adesi and Anishi. I'll come back in the queue for any more. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Arshad Joshi from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congrats on a great set of numbers. So my first question, a little curious about a comment made in the investor presentation about the new product that we have added in HPP. So just wanted to check if this is in HFO, inorganic fluorides, or the ref gas unit.
No, this is basically the commentary that you see in the investor presentation. Is the sale of the new product. That's primarily we are talking about the same molecule from the Dahej, you know, the Honeywell product.
Okay. Got it, sir.
There are some other new molecules that we have in the pipeline, but that has not really made any material impact to the numbers in Q4. The Q4 numbers are primarily because of the Honeywell product.
Got it, sir. Sir, second question again on the HFC 32 bit. Since competition also is adding, as the previous participant mentioned, one of the reasons could it be that we haven't had a near drop replacement to HFC 32 within the HFO series, and a lot of global conversions that are happening from maybe 134A or in R125 are already kind of getting displaced into the HFO segment or the fourth gen ref gases. Would that be a fair assumption that HFC's 32 demand will be fairly buoyant and is one of the reason why as to a lot of companies are adding capacity?
Yeah, so first of all, there are not many companies who are adding capacity. I mean, first of all, the only country where you can add capacity is India. And that also beyond December, you cannot do that. Even if you see in India, there are not many companies who are adding capacity. There's a limited capacity addition which is actually coming up. But in terms of demand, you're absolutely right. 134A primarily actually goes into mobile air conditioning. R32 primarily goes into stationary air conditioning. And there in India market, as you know, the penetration is also increasing. And globally, there is a transition happening where we believe at least for quite a few years to go, there will be demand for R32 as a single ingredient as well as a part of a blend, initially as HFC-HFC blend and then as HFC-HFO blend. And as I mentioned to you, we're currently in discussion with our partners to develop those specific HFC-HFOs blend, wherein we will supply HFC to them for supply to the global markets, and we will actually look at supplying those blends in the Indian market.
Understood, sir. So basically, sir, there are no new capacity additions even globally that are happening for R32, and so that is kind of a benefit to us. Sir, an addendum, same thing. For the HFO business that we have currently, it seems that the fourth quarter looks to be like a very strong quarter that we have reported in the subsidiaries performance. And I just remember from the plant visit takeaways that we have had, we had kind of indicated that we'll most likely clock somewhere between 500, 550 crores. And I can already see 450 crores in FY23 financials from the subsidiary. Was there anything particularly exceptional about the fourth quarter that we were able to clock a significantly higher revenue? And going ahead, do things remain the same or they are slightly improved a bit?
No, so there was nothing exceptional per se about Q4. I think the only point I can make there is that we were able to achieve optimal capacity fairly quickly. Typically, what we were expecting to get in year two, we were able to achieve in year one itself. Having said that, in our current plan, there is still capacity headroom available. So, you know, if you look at in Q4, we were not operating the plant to 100% capacity utilization. So there is still capacity headroom available. In the quarters to come, we believe that we should be able to get close to the full capacity utilization. And then, you know, this debottlenecking that I was talking about earlier will also start coming into play from the next year onwards.
Got it, sir. Thanks for this elaborate clarification and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the presentation and congratulations on a very strong result. Last quarter, you mentioned that you will see further upside to your volumes as your new projects ramped up to optimal levels. And after that, you should see better margins as you benefit from the operational efficiencies. Would it be fair to say that you started to see that in this quarter and that we should work with these margin levels to be a sort of a new normal for you going forward? And the second question was more of a clarification from some of the earlier questions that came to you. Would it be possible to give some color with respect to, you know, the one molecule that you mentioned where you're seeing some slowdown? How big is that in your overall portfolio? And secondly, you know, beyond that molecule, is there any area within the overall portfolio which you're monitoring closely from a risk perspective for F24 and F25? Thank you so much.
Yeah, so I actually didn't get your questions properly, but let me try to answer as much as I understood. The first question that you had on the margin, which specific molecule you were talking about?
No, sir, it was more related to the specialty business. I think you were saying the last quarter you should, yeah.
Yeah, so as you know that the margins that we saw in Q4, combination is basically because of the performance that we saw across the three BUs, right? The right way to look at that is you should look at our annualized margins. As we have said before, these annualized margins on an annualized basis will keep improving as we add on these new capacities, new plants, et cetera. It will be difficult for me to comment on a quarter-on-quarter basis. You know, if you ask me specifically to comment on Q4 and as we move forward, if the margins will increase, et cetera, I think the right way to look at it is look at the annualized margins. On the second question, as I mentioned to you, there is this one particular molecule in specialty which actually saw the impact in Q4. We believe the maximum impact in the calendar year 2023 was actually seen in Q4. Going forward, actually that impact will actually start going down because we actually sold almost zero of that product in Q4. That impact already is seen in the result. Going forward, we have actually already started seeing the demand coming back. It's not, you know. Whatever the significance of that molecule is, you have already seen the impact of that in the last quarter.
Got it, sir. Really helpful. You did answer both my questions. Just one small clarification. Beyond this particular molecule, is there any other part of the portfolio that you've been monitoring, you know, with respect to any possible slowdown that may come through over the next couple of years? Or this is the only molecule where you see some risks? Thank you.
No, it's very difficult for us to really comment on it. We continue to engage with our customers. One of the, you know, molecules which obviously is of lot of interest to us is the one that we supply to Honeywell, because of two reasons. One, it goes into the housing market. You know, it goes into multiple industries, but housing is one of its end applications, and also because it has a significant impact on our financial performance. Currently, the forecast that we have received from our customer basically tells us that H2 continues to be in line with what the earlier forecast they have actually given to us. Currently, we don't have any reason to believe that it's going to be significantly impacted in H2 of calendar year 2023, but we continue to closely monitor that.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my question, Rajesh and Anish. Few from my side. First on the standalone business, if I see ex of the CDMO business, it's like declined by 20% YOY. Can you help us understand what all the business, erstwhile specialty, ref gas, inorganic, which is the business causing a 20% decline in the revenue on the standalone basis, excluding NFSI? That's my first question.
No, I'm not able to understand. You are talking about Q4 or FY 2023?
No, I'm talking about Q4. In the standalone business, if you look at the revenue, excluding the CDMO business, which again is included in the standalone revenue, if I take that off, there is a decline of 20% YOY in the underlying revenue. These are the non-contracted or the erstwhile before these contracts had those. I guess these are the revenue from those products and lines, and it appears that that has declined by 20% YOY.
I'm not able to see that, but you know, we just completed the board meeting.
Can you give me the number?
I think, let me try to answer that question. If you actually look at the three businesses that we supply from NFIL, there is specialty, there is HPP, and HPP is primarily inorganic and ref gas.
Correct.
The third is the CDMO piece. CDMO obviously has increased significantly on YOY basis, but I think your question is primarily NFIL on a standalone minus CDMO, right?
Correct. Correct.
It's on the inorganic and ref gas side, we are almost flat. There is a slight increase there. On the specialty, you are right, there is a reduction. I don't know exactly how much the reduction is, but it's primarily because of two reasons. One, there is a molecule that we have actually taken to NFSL from NFIL. So there is a small impact on that. The second impact, the second reason why you see that impact is because of that other molecule that I was talking to you about, where we've actually seen that inventory issue, and most of that was actually seen in Q4, which was actually supplied from Surat.
Got it. Because that number appears fairly big. It appears almost 50 crore kind of, because ref gas and inorganic has not fallen. If I attribute everything to that, close to 60 crore impact.
I think the right way of looking at that, if you look at the specialty business specifically, I think you should primarily look at NFIL and NFSL together. You should look at the specialty business on hold. And I'll tell you why. We, for a lot of these molecules, especially that we are doing with the global agrochemical majors, we have now developed capability to do a lot of these molecules both out of Surat as well as out of Dahej. And typically, depending on what new opportunities we get, because as you know, the plant that we have in Dahej is a slightly higher capacity, higher scale, whereas the plants that we have in Surat are relatively smaller scale. So suppose if we get in a quarter an opportunity to do a new molecule, which we can do only out of Surat, not out of Dahej because of the scale, then we move that molecule to Dahej and then we actually put this new molecule out of Surat. Also, there is one molecule that we were earlier supplying on a continuous basis out of Surat. In Q4, we have actually done downstream of that. So what has happened is that molecule has actually gone from Naveen NFIL, that is Surat, to Dahej, and we have done the downstream processing there and sold to the customer out of NFSL. But these kind of things are going to happen on a regular basis. So the right way of looking at it would be to look at it on a console basis, on a business-to-business basis.
But just a small clarification from a product moving from Surat to Dahej. I thought NFSL falls under new tax regime of 15%, which says that the new facility should have a new product for the eligibility of that. So moving a product from Surat to Dahej, is that possible thing?
Yeah, absolutely. The product that we used to sell out of Surat, that's the molecule we continue to sell. And that product is actually going to the other customers as well as to NFSL. Now, when we transfer it from NFIL to NFSL, it actually goes at a transfer pricing. And then NFSL is not selling that molecule to the customer. There are, four or five steps, additional steps that are actually done in NFSL. And the molecule that we are supplying from NFSL is a different one from the one that was supplied out of NFIL.
No, it's very clear. Thanks, Rajesh, for that effort to make us understand. Second, on the CDMO side, phenomenal performance. Did this include the 16 million contract revenue also? Have we started supplying that? And for FY24, what should be the revenue guidance for the segment? Should we again achieve a 30% plus kind of a growth from the debottlenecking, which unlocks another 25% capacity?
What was the first question you asked, Anish?
So we have announced a 16 million contract in the CDMO business in the Q3. We said that we'll start supplying from the April onwards. Just wanted to understand, have we started that? Is there any impact of that in this CDMO business of Q4? And a follow-up question is on the revenue growth guidance for FY24. Now that we have debottlenecked CGMP3, which adds close to 25% capacity, so 20% plus growth is doable in FY24. Is that the right assumption?
Yeah, so that agreement that I have talked to you about, or that order that we have talked to you about, we've actually supplied a significant part of that in Q4, and there is still balanced quantity which we'll be supplying in FY24. On the second question that you have, yes. We are extremely confident of our growth in FY24 and in the years to come. And we believe that, and which is what gives us the confidence to actually go for CGMP4, because a lot of these molecules that we are actually currently working on, the projections that we have received from the customer look to be very positive, and hence it's necessary for us to have larger scale plans to do higher volumes of those molecules. So to your question specifically related to FY24, my answer would be yes.
Got it. One last, sorry for squeezing this on the margin. We have earlier said that we will gradually move towards 28 and 30, but surprisingly that gradual was just a quarter. For the full year, do you think this kind of margin is sustainable, which is 29%, and we improve on this?
No, so as I mentioned earlier to another question, I think the way to look at it is you look at the annualized margin, annualized basis, what we delivered in FY23. And as I've mentioned before, you know, because there are a lot of things that happen in quarter to quarter, there are some new projects that we undertake, et cetera, which could skew margins in a particular quarter, either upward or downward. So let us, I think the best way to look at it is you look at the annualized margin of FY23, and you will actually see that that margin has actually improved over FY22, and that is the overall trajectory that you will continue to see on an annualized basis.
Clear, clear. And thanks for answering all the questions, and best of luck for the future quarters.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats. So on the HF capacity, so last time we had indicated that we'll be doubling the capacity and debottlenecking is going on. So effectively our capacity after 2 years will get doubled. So are we currently sufficient for the next 2 years? And based on the new capacity that we are planning, how much time we are expecting that this new 40,000 tons capacity will be utilized over, you know, after 2 years once it gets commissioned? Thank you.
Yeah, so first of all, as far as the capacity is concerned, we have announced a 40,000 metric ton new plant that we are setting up. It's going to take us about 24 months to get that plant ready. And with that coming in, our capacity would be significant. We are actually significantly, we'll have significantly more than twice the capacity that we have today. And to your question, will we be deficient? We will have adequate capacity of HF for our own requirement. We probably will not have enough HF to be able to sell in the merchant market. We are actually seeing a lot more opportunities to sell in the merchant market, and we would have got those opportunities if we had more HF available, but for our own consumption, we have enough HF. And we believe that we're continuously working on a lot of these other projects. There are some projects which will get commissioned later this year. There are some other opportunities we are working on in our existing three BUs, as well as some of the newer opportunities. A lot of them are actually going to need HF. So this 40,000 metric ton capacity that we are adding, it's mainly driven by our own requirement of HF versus selling it into the merchant market. So we believe that at least half of the capacity we should be able to use fairly quickly as soon as that plant is ready. And then over a period of time, initially the rest of it we will be selling in the merchant market. But we believe that in the following 3 to 4 years, even that capacity would actually get utilized by us for the downstream opportunities.
Yeah, that's fairly clear. Just one clarification on this. In terms of the fluorspar sourcing, have we gotten into any arrangements with the any of those suppliers?
Yes.
Sure. That's the question is on the ESOP charge. So after FY23 ESOP charge during the year, how much of it is left and will come in FY24 and if any for FY25? Thank you.
So Rohit, thanks for the question. I mean, you know how this ESOP works, right? I mean, essentially you're doing a Black-Scholes model and then taking the cost into the books, right? And the ESOP, the way it was structured was over a 4-year period. So you will essentially see that the first 2 years of that, the charges will go up, and then the third and the fourth year, the charges obviously come down, because what happens is in year one, you get the charge for the kind of the first year and the second, you know, and then the second again you get for second, third and fourth, you know, so each progressive year the charge comes down. So if you had to sort of ask me what charge should we expect for the full year, I mean, you should probably take, if 16.79 was for half year, I would take about 31 for the FY24, and then it will progressively come down significantly.
Sure. This is very helpful. Thanks and best of luck, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krishan Parwani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Radheji. Congrats on a good set of numbers. Thanks for taking my question. So I have like two. So first is on the molecule that you said, there was almost zero volume in the fourth quarter. So is this product the one that where we face the competition from the domestic player?
No. This has got nothing to do with the domestic, competition. This is basically because, the same issue that we are actually seeing everywhere. There was some inventory buildup at the customer's end. The demand for this molecule continues to remain extremely strong. This is actually a blockbuster molecule. And as we speak, we are actually looking at opportunities to not only expand the capacity in this particular molecule, but also do the downstream AI for this particular molecule. So the overall demand outlook for this molecule continues to be extremely robust. It's a blockbuster molecule and is expected to remain blockbuster for at least quite a few years. It's just that there was a significant inventory buildup in the pipeline, so it is just a question of destocking and restocking. That's about it. And most of that impact, we believe, is behind us now, because a lot of that was actually done in the Q1 calendar year, which is Q4. FY23.
Understood, Radheshi. So the second one is on the CDMO front. Given we have seen, a sharp jump, as you already highlighted, that some part of the PO is already factored in 4Q. So on a full year basis, more like probably, 25-30% kind of a growth run rate that is fair, or how do we see it?
No, so I think as we have indicated earlier, you should basically take the annualized number of FY23 annualized number, and you should be able to see a 20% plus growth on that number. But take annualized for FY23, because unfortunately, and it basically impacts us on a positive as well as negative side, is that this business tends to be lumpy, right? I mean, you saw that in Q1 and Q2, we are almost a little softer, and in H2, and I have indicated this right at the beginning of the financial year, that we believe that H1 will be softer and H2 will be stronger, which is exactly what has happened. So if you look at the numbers on an annualized basis, we should be able to show a growth of 20% plus in FY24.
Understood. And if I can squeeze the last small clarification. So on the R&D front, are we looking at products like, derivatives of triphenylic acids or triphenylic anhydrides or something like that? Or where are we, where is our R&D focus in terms of that?
No, so we actually just invested significant amount in our R&D for not only expansion, but a significant upgradation in our R&D setup in Surat. Now, I will not be able to comment on the specific molecules, etc. Typically, these molecules or these opportunities typically get developed in our engagements with the customers. But our focus continues to be in identification and development of new technology platforms which typically the customers are not able to get from other organizations, either in India or outside of India. So our focus is on identification and development of new technology platforms. And once we have those platforms, then those platforms can be used to develop number of molecules based on those platforms. So that is how we typically approach the R&D exercise.
Fair enough, Radhaji. Thank you for patiently answering my question. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to two per participant only. The next question is in the line of Bhaskar Chakraborty from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Welling. Just wanted to understand what all items apart from HPP are contributing to the difference in revenues between the consolidated line and the standalone line?
No, so very simply, the H is in, under NFSL, and Surat and Devas are under NFIL. But as I mentioned earlier, I would just like to repeat that again. I think the right way to look at our business would be to look at it on a consolidated basis.
So basically, the new agrochem dedicated plant that has come up where you have achieved optimum utilization, where does that figure in these numbers?
No, that's not in HPP. That's in specialty, and that's in Dahej.
Understood. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keyur from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
First of all, congratulations to the team for great results. Sir, first question is on the HPP side for Honeywell product. In the past conference call, you have mentioned that there may be possibly some slowdown depending on how the demand is in the Western markets. So just your thoughts on how you see HPP Honeywell product ramping up the trajectory of growth and optimum utilization before you go for say debottlenecking. That is first question.
Yeah, I think I already have talked about this in while answering some of the earlier questions. As I said, we continue to engage with Honeywell to understand how the demand outlook looks for the rest of the year. Currently, our expectation is that, as I mentioned to you in Q4 also, we were not running the plant to full capacity. There is headroom available. And we believe that for the rest of the year, that is the rest of the calendar year, we'll probably run to the similar kind of a capacity. And while we do that, we will also work on this debottlenecking project so that that particular capacity comes on stream before end of the current financial year.
Okay, understood. Sir, second question is on this two new plants commission. First is dedicated and second is MPP. So just clarification, dedicated is now on quarterly basis. This was fully utilized. The MPP, so we have as of now commercialized total three products of total five planned. So how will be the journey from here on, say commercialization of fourth and fifth molecule? So when will we see optimum utilization?
No, there is another molecule, as I mentioned to you. So earlier we had actually, you're talking specifically related to MPP, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so earlier, if you remember, we had actually talked about five molecules in MPP. Four of them were agro, one was pharma. We actually had said that pharma is something that we will look at later on. Mm. Out of the four, we produced three in Q4, not to the full capacity, but we produced three and supplied these molecules to the customer. We will continue to produce these three, and a lot of these are campaign, etc. So they are not going to be, the volumes are not going to be constant quarter on quarter. The fourth molecule, we are actually, we will be starting later this year. And what we have also done is we have actually identified another opportunity for another molecule to be supplied to another global agrochemical company. And we've actually undertaking a very small CapEx to modify our MPP to actually put that molecule. So that will be a completely new molecule, which we will be doing in the second half of the coming financial year. So three, we have already done. Four, we will be doing in the coming year. There's another completely new, which we had not indicated earlier, we will be doing in the second half of the current financial year. And the final one, pharma, we currently don't have any immediate plan of doing in MPP.
Okay. The clarification that dedicated has seen the full utilization for this quarter on a quarterly basis, correct?
Yeah, almost. There is some little headroom available, but yeah, it's a fairly optimized capacity utilization.
Okay, no bad. Sir, thanks a lot and all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Bhavesh Jain from Enam AMC. Please go ahead.
Sir, just want to ask about this working capital. I missed your comments that have gone up. Anything specific?
Sorry, your voice is very soft, Bhavesh. Can you please...
Sir, on working capital, that seems to have gone up in this year-end. So anything specific or we have done planning for this maintenance shutdown?
No, Bhavesh. I mean, see, the working capital, if you look at, this is the first year of NFASL operations, right? So you will see a big jump in working capital as the plants get into operations and we engage with customers for selling products as well as, you know, having inventories. So it's got nothing to do with shutdown.
So that will normalize by second or third year of the operation? How do we see that? Or how should we build in it?
So Bhavesh, see, there's a lot of actions we are already taking in play to look at the working capital. Now, that doesn't mean that's kind of ongoing business in some sense. Because, you know, obviously as new assets come up, the working capital starts kind of going up. But then, you know, you kind of have actions around focusing on each component of working capital to bring it down. We are also looking at several vendor financing, supply chain financing programs so that we can optimize the working capital further. All I can say actually is that at this level, we are not looking to increase the working capital. So it will remain at this or go lower actually. That's what you should expect to see, and the benefits won't come as a kind of switch on-off, but they will be progressively seen over the year.
Okay. And sir, lastly, on the CapEx side, what should we build in for FY24 and 25?
For FY24 and 25, I mean, we've already, so, you know, there's already nectar in the pipeline as you are, no, sorry.
No, so I think there are two CapExes that we have already announced. One is the agrochemical CapEx. And then there is the AHF CapEx. So those are the two big CapExes that we have announced, as you know. There is, and there are some minor CapExes, you know, that are going on in Dewas, in Surat, as well as in the Dahej. Apart from that, we will be able to, you know, let you know about any other CapEx as and when we get approval from the board. But it will primarily be, you know, some of the CapExes that I indicated in my opening remark.
Okay, and so lastly, any interest costs we are capitalizing?
So on pre-operative basis, it does get. So we follow the accounting standard in that regard.
Okay, but Q4, the majority of the finance cost will cover that, right?
No, once the plants are operational, you can't capitalize it.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you. All the best. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Yeah, I would like to thank everyone for taking time out on Saturday evening and joining on the call. I hope we have been able to respond to your queries adequately. If you have any further queries, you may reach out to our investor relations partner, Orient Capital. Thank you very much and have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Navin Fluorine International Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.